I'll write for you.
For my little, yeah. Today is Wednesday, January 25th. Sorry, today is Thursday, January 26th, 2012. It is 3 p.m. and the City Council will come to order to consider two items. Good afternoon, Carla.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
Here. And just to confirm the participation of Commissioner Randy Leonard, Randy Leonard has a prior conflicting scheduling item and wishes to participate via or telephonically. We believe that it is in the best interest of the health and safety of the city that he do so. And so under local law, I want to provide anyone an opportunity to object to Commissioner Leonard's participation telephonically. Hearing no objections, he will participate and we shall proceed. Can you please read the title for item number 96, which is a land use issue?
96, consider the proposal of Safeway, Inc. and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval with conditions of a comprehensive plan map, zoning map amendment, and adjustment to replace the existing 21,665 square foot building with a new 62,925 square foot two-story grocery store at 8039 Southwest Capitol Hill Road and 8145 Southwest Barber Boulevard, LU 11103310 CPZCAD.
And to get us started, we'll hear initial instructions from our legal counsel, Catherine Beaumont.
Mary Adams, I might suggest that it's appropriate to read item 97 as well, because it would be, if the council agrees with the hearings officer, it would be the ordinance to implement that. You'll need to vote on them separately, but they all concern the same item.
Great. Thank you for that. Can you please read the language for ordinance number 97, which is an emergency ordinance?
Amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning of two lots in the vicinity of 8039 Southwest Capitol Hill Road and 8145 Southwest Barber Boulevard at the request of Diane Phillips of Safeway, Inc., LU 11103310 CPZCAD.
Now we will hear from our instructions from our legal counsel, Catherine Beaumont.
Good afternoon. Before we begin the hearing, I have several announcements I need to make about the type of hearing we're holding today.
Catherine, move the mic just a little closer if you could. Thanks.
I have several announcements I need to make about the type of hearing we're holding today, the order of testimony, and guidelines for presenting testimony. First, this is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your argument. Second, in terms of the order of testimony, the council will hear testimony concerning the hearings officer's recommendation as follows. First, the council will hear begin with a staff report for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 10 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, the council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. The council may vote today on the hearings officer's recommendation. If this vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the recommendation. If the council takes a final vote on the findings and recommendation today, that will conclude the matter before the council. And again, there would be 2 pieces that would implement this decision, the findings and an ordinance. In terms of guidelines for presenting testimony, first, any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Second, any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. Third, you must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you'll be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. And finally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval. And that concludes the opening statements I need to make.
All right, thank you, Councillor. Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest? I'm a customer of Safeway from time to time, and I'm in their loyalty program with their card, but I don't shop at this site on a regular basis, and I have not talked to anyone in Safeway or any of their consultants about this issue.
In the interest of full disclosure, I do shop at this particular Safeway. However, I have not had any conversations about it and don't have any ties that would constitute a conflict of interest.
Any other, does anyone wish to challenge anyone on our descriptions of potential or perceived conflicts of interest or ask any questions of us? All right, does council have any ex parte contacts to declare? Hearing none, are there any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin this hearing? And this question is directed to city council or the council, city attorney or council clerk. Hearing none, we'll begin with staff presentation. Hi, welcome back.
Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Fregoli, the assigned city planner. Today I will be presenting the hearings officer's recommendation for this land use review. Before I begin, I need to note that I submitted a memo to city council that flags two omissions in the hearings officer's report. The hearings officer has requested the corrections be incorporated into the final decision. I will identify the corrections later in my presentation. Also, please note that staff from the Bureau of Environmental Services as well as the Bureau of Transportation are in attendance and available to answer questions. Before you today is a request to change the comprehensive plan map and zoning map designation on two lots when combined encompass approximately 20,000 square feet. The applicant, Safeway Incorporated, is requesting a change from R1 multi-dwelling residential 1000 to CG general commercial. The existing store is located at the northwest corner of Southwest Capitol Hill Road and Southwest Barber Boulevard. With commercial zoning on the two lots, Safeway intends to replace the existing store with a significantly larger full-service grocery store. Safeway has submitted preliminary plans that identify public right-of-way improvements, on-site improvements, including landscaping in a 62,925-square-foot building. The building includes structured parking. The applicant is requesting concurrently an adjustment to the commercial zone minimum landscaping standard. This standard requires at least 15% of the site be landscaped. The applicant is requesting to reduce that standard from 15 to 14.4%. And then lastly, to fulfill the no net housing loss policy, the applicant intends to submit a covenant to ensure retention of 20 units of housing that are located off-site on a site that is commercially zoned. Here we see the applicant's submitted survey. West of the existing store are the two lots that are proposed for the map change. The lots are identified as tax lots 4301 and 4302. Here we see the current zoning map. The two lots, as well as the abutting lots to the west, are within the R1 zone. The R1 zone allows one dwelling unit per 1,000 square feet of site area. West of the Safeway ownership, there is a large site that is zoned R1 but is developed with a non-residential use. CenturyLink, formerly Quest, operates its telecommunications facility on this 7-acre site. Immediately north of this facility is the West Hills Christian School. The school site is zoned R7, a single-dwelling residential zone. Most of the properties immediately north of Safeway are zoned R2. The R2 zone is another multi-dwelling zone. And then further north, the area is zoned R2.5, R5, and R7, all of which are single-dwelling residential zones. In this area, all of the properties that front Barber Boulevard are zoned CG, general commercial. The CG zone allows retail, office, and residential uses. Here we see the proposed map change. Excuse me. The aerial photo before you identifies the adjacent uses. Outlined in blue are the two lots that are proposed for the map change. We see the nearby large sites that are developed with non-residential uses. These uses serve as a transition between the commercial development on Southwest Barber and then the residential development further to the north. If approved, the large apartment complex immediately west of the Safeway property will be surrounded by non-residential uses. The applicant's submitted site plan illustrates the proposed landscaped areas. This shows the outline of the proposed new building. Most of the parking will be under the structure. However, a surface parking area with 21 parking spaces will be constructed at the east tip of the site. Here we see the proposed north and east elevation drawings of the new store. It will have two levels. The scale of the building will be reduced through the use of windows, entries, and openings, and different wall heights and wall articulation. I must note that the hearings officer did not review this specific development plan except for the site improvements that relate to the landscaping adjustment. The comprehensive plan and zoning map amendment reviews do not require analysis and approval of a specific design or development type. Based upon review and feedback from the Portland Bureau of Transportation and the Oregon Department of Transportation, the applicant developed a plan that includes right-of-way dedications and improvements that satisfy the approval criteria. I need to note that Southwest Barber, including the approach ramp onto Southwest Multnomah Boulevard, is a state highway and is therefore under the authority of ODOT. Later in this hearing, PBOT staff and the applicant will describe in detail these proposed improvements that you see identified on this plan. The approval criteria for this review are found under Zoning Code Sections 33.810.050, 33.855.050, and 33.805.040A through F. The hearings officer received testimony from four interested persons as well as the Southwest Neighbors Coalition. The concerns are listed on this slide. The hearings officer stated in his report that the testimony was constructive. Although concerns were raised, he notes in his report that no one sought to identify or argue reasons for denying this application. The hearings officer found, with conditions, the approval criteria for the reviews are met. Many of the recommended conditions, with one exception, responds to the testimony of concerned neighbors. This one exception is that the hearings officer does not agree that a bicycle lane, which would require additional right-of-way dedication, should be required. The hearings officer relied on the policy and service analysis of PBOT staff. Following my presentation, PBOT staff wishes to speak to this issue. The hearings officer recommends approval with conditions that will require a recorded covenant to protect 20 residential units, a condition that will require the three Safeway lots be consolidated into one lot. Further, a condition will require surveillance cameras for enhanced security at the back of the store, and speed bumps or traffic calming devices must be installed at the back of the store to discourage cut-through traffic. The right-of-way dedications and improvements must be completed, and if ODOT gives permission, the applicant must install a crosswalk on Multnomah Boulevard. Lastly, as explained in my memo, the hearings officer's report inadvertently left out a recommended condition. The hearings officer asked that condition I be included. This condition requires Safeway trucks to use only designated truck access streets. Further, the hearings officer recommends, with conditions, approval of the requested landscaping adjustments. Now I will quickly show a few photos of the site and surrounding area. This is the existing house on tax lot 4301. It's oriented towards Capitol Hill Road. Obviously, this house will be removed for the construction of the new store. And then here we see on the opposite side, or back of that site, is tax lot 4302, which fronts Multnomah Boulevard. The lot is vacant, and you can see the back of the existing Safeway store on the right-hand side of the photo. Here we see the existing Safeway store. The store faces east and is set back from the intersection of Barber and Capitol Hill Road. In the foreground, you see the large surface parking lot. And then here we see part of the intersection at Capitol Hill Road and Barber. This intersection has signalized crosswalks. On Barber, there's a bus stop with a shelter and a bench, and it's adjacent to the Safeway parking lot. The applicant intends to construct a new TriMet bus pullout along this stretch of Barber. The one-way westbound approach off Barber onto Multnomah Boulevard defines the southern edge of the site. Here we see the large apartment complex located west of tax lot 4302. This home abuts tax lot 4301. And then directly across the street on Southwest Capitol Hill Road, there are more single-dwelling residences. Also on the north side of Capitol Hill Road, directly across from the Safeway parking lot, we see exterior storage associated with the Barber Boulevard rental business. This concludes my presentation, but as I mentioned earlier, PBOT staff would like a few minutes to discuss the required transportation improvements and discuss the reasons for not requiring the bicycle lane on Capitol Hill Road.
Mr. Kruger, how are you?
Mayor Adams, good afternoon, City Council. Kurt Kruger with the Office of Transportation.
Can you move that mic closer to you?
Certainly. It's my pleasure to be here today to describe some of the transportation improvements that we're going to see with the approval and then ultimately the development of this project. This is a project that has been in the works for probably close to 2 years and many hours of discussion with staff and the applicant. And I must commend the applicant has been extremely cooperative dealing with a number of significant issues and not once questioned any of the requirements that we've placed on this, and they've been rather extensive. I'm going to walk through them very quickly and then just touch on the bicycle issue. We brought a number of ODOT staff out to this issue because we share joint jurisdictions around this property, and changes that we wanted to make biking and walking along Barber and Multnomah took quite a bit of effort to put different policy issues aside and come together on consensus on these improvements. So as Sheila mentioned, we're seeing a TriMet improvement, a bus shelter improvement along Barber, if the cursor can illustrate that at this location here. Currently, there is no striped bike lane. This is kind of a bike bike rider is no man's land going uphill, which is an unsafe situation that we really worked hard to correct. So we're giving a striped bike lane designation and narrowing the Multnomah ramp here to help bring some of the vehicle speeds down and make this a better pedestrian experience, and working with ODOT to shorten this crossing across Multnomah on Barber here. Again, the applicant's going to be required to dedicate and improve sidewalks along Capitol Hill Road. It's important to note that the improvements on both Capitol and Barber and Multnomah are going to consist of 5 or 6 feet of dedication along each of those frontage to get the widened sidewalks and street tree furniture that we're looking for. Very significant to note, there are 2 driveways along Barber Boulevard that we told the applicant would no longer be allowed to remain. For a retail customer with driveway access on a major street like Barber is a very significant issue, and this is a significant loss for them. And not one point in our conversation did they question that. They understood that that was a significant issue that we wanted to avoid. There's a lot of pedestrian vehicle conflicts that exist at that location. We are making some significant improvements to the signalization at Barber and Capitol Hill, which will improve operations for vehicles. And we're shortening the crossing of a very busy TriMet crossing across Barber and shortening that by a few feet and allowing pedestrians to cross Barber across a shorter distance. I know you will hear testimony today related to the bike issue. It was brought up at the hearings officer level. There's essentially 3 significant issues that we wrestled with repeatedly and a lot of consultation with our city attorneys on the additional right-of-way that would be required to put in a bike lane. There's 2 legal tests that we would have to pass that the Supreme Court has given us. I won't go into those extensively unless we need to later in the hearing, but essentially we have to have a nexus. We feel that we are not in the best position to answer the nexus test, given that at the current time, our transportation system plan identifies Capitol Hill as a local service bikeway. To ask for a striped bike lane and a higher designation, we don't have that in our current TSP. It is in the new bike plan that has not been adopted at this time, and we cannot change the goalpost on the applicant after their application has been submitted. If we had been able to answer the nexus test positively, we would have had then moved to the Dolan test. And that's a rough proportionality of the impacts that they're putting into the transportation system versus the amount of property that we're exacting from them. We have run numbers and feel very confident that there's a good balance being reached for the widened sidewalks when we're looking at picking up the existing curb and moving that back 5 feet for the bike lane. That additional right-of-way, in addition to the needed treatment for the stormwater that's added to the system because of the additional impervious area, we start having to ask for 10, 11, 12 feet of additional property from Safeway, and that's where we run into trouble meeting the rough proportionality test. And finally, we spent many hours meeting with our city traffic engineer, evaluating, even if we could find a way to get a bike lane here, there are significant operating concerns because at this time there is no striped bike lane on Capitol Hill. And if bike riders were then to come around the corner and be placed into a bike lane, we would be then pushing them over 2 lanes, and the predominant movement would be inbound on Barber. That would be a left turn at Capitol Hill or across Barber. So we would have moved bicyclists into their own lane and then forced them rather quickly to move over 2 lanes of traffic to then make a left turn. That may not be much of a problem if we had a designated bike lane for a much longer corridor. Probably about as much information I want to put on the record right now. I'm available for more questions if we need to go into more detail.
Could you just tell me, how do you get into the upper parking lot off of Capitol Hill Road?
So you would, if you're on Barber, you would take either a left or right to go northbound on Capitol Hill, and we're extending a left turn lane that would allow a vehicle operator to enter the left turn and then wait for a left turn opportunity to turn in to the first parking area.
Okay, and then if I'm going west on Barber, I get into the underground parking off of the ramp to Multnomah?
That's correct.
And can I then get back onto Capitol Hill Road?
Yes, you can get back onto Capitol Hill and then come back through the intersection to come back onto Barber, correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was kind of my question. So.
Okay, thank you.
Unless there's additional council discussion, We'll hear from the appellant.
I did have a question of Sheila, I guess.
Yes.
So the covenant to preserve 20 units of housing, is this units of housing that Safeway owns somewhere or will purchase?
No. They entered into a separate agreement with another owner to impose that covenant on another housing development that's commercially zoned elsewhere.
And that will be imposed prior to building permit issuance?
Yes. One of the conditions will require that the covenant be recorded and the submittal of the recording is given to staff to verify. And we actually will require that before we change the map, the zoning maps. So okay. They'll have to document that.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll now hear from the appellant. Applicant. Welcome back for many of you.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, good afternoon. And my name is Mark Whitlow. I'm a land use attorney with the Portland office of Perkins Coie, 1120 Northwest Cooch Street, 10th floor, Portland, 97209. We're very pleased to be in front of you today. I'm here on behalf of Safeway, the applicant. I would reserve my testimony for rebuttal if we need to. I want to introduce our presenters, but I want to first ask for a block of 15 minutes, if we could. Instead of 10 and two threes for supporters, if we could just have one block and present seamlessly. We may not even take it all, but.
Unless there are objections, we'll offer that as well to the other side. Yes.
Thank you very much. Before I do introduce our witnesses, I really do want to thank the planning staff, Sheila Fragoli and her people at BDS, BES, PBOT, all the city agencies, and Mr. Kruger was absolutely correct. We worked for over a year and a half very closely with all of those staff people, and that's allowed us today to come to you with a great project, and it's, I think, anytime you see an urban infill redevelopment of this magnitude that only needs one very minor adjustment to the development standards, that speaks for itself. They've done a great job. Couldn't have done it without your staff, and we really do appreciate the cooperative spirit that they've evidenced with us. And so back to our team. First of all, Bill Jackson, the State Development Director for Safeway at my far right, will lead off the presentation, followed by Chris Bremer, principal at Kittleson & Associates, our traffic consultant, followed by, on my left, Eric Hovey, principal with E.D. Hovey & Company, our economic development consultant. So without further ado, Bill.
Okay. Bill Jackson, Safeway, 16300 Southeast Evelyn Street, Clackamas, Oregon, 97015. Good afternoon. My name is Bill Jackson. I'm the store development director for the Safeway's Portland division, which covers all of Oregon and Southwest Washington. I'm speaking today to ask you for your support and approval of this project that was recommended for approval by the hearings officer in October. This project meets and fosters Goal 5, the economic development, and its underlying policies of urban revitalization and business development. We will create construction jobs, retail jobs, and generate new additional tax revenue by redeveloping an outdated store in an urban location. Safeway has a long and deep commitment to Portland. Safeway's first stores in Portland date back to the 1920s. Many stores have been operating at their location for years. Recently, we've been reinvesting in those properties with new developments. We upgraded, replaced on-site, or added stores at Lloyd Center, 39th and Powell, Museum Place, St. John's, the Pearl at Lovejoy, Martin Luther King, 27th and Hawthorne, which is a store currently under construction, and now this proposal which will continue our investment in the city. Since the store sites are small, we've been innovative in trying new, denser, more compact developments with decked parking at Lloyd Center, understore parking at 39th and Powell, Museum Place, and Hawthorne, and roof parking at the Pearl Store. Today's proposal will be another innovation for us, a podium store that will revitalize this site. A podium store maximizes the use of the site by allowing parking on the ground floor level and the second floor for the grocery store. Safeway's continued presence in Portland has conferred other benefits to the city. Safeway's paid real estate taxes last year, of which the city's portion was $700,000, invested $80 million to build four new stores and six remodels in Portland in the last 7 years, employs 1,500 people in the city, and makes this very significant charitable contribution. Customers and employees raised nearly $5 million during the annual October Breast Cancer Awareness Month since 2007. 100% went to the Portland Providence Center, Cancer Center and the Knight Cancer Institute at OHSU. Safeway gave 1 million pounds of food last year to the Portland Sunshine Division. I could go on about the additional donations given that helped the Oregon Food Bank, local charities, prostate cancer awareness, muscular dystrophy, and people with disabilities. Today's project will continue the investment in Portland by replacing a store that opened 44 years ago and by allowing this business location to be reinvigorated and not subject to continued erosion of opportunity. Safeway will invest $20 million in this project, hire 150 additional employees, increase the tax assessed value, and create numerous construction jobs. So I ask for your support and approval today to allow Safeway to continue to invest and update its store on Barber Boulevard to serve the surrounding neighborhoods. Chris Bremer will now continue our presentation.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the Council. My name is Chris Bremer. I'm a principal engineer with Kittleson and Associates. What I wanted to briefly, 610, let me get my address, 610, don't need it, okay. what I wanted to do was briefly highlight some of the transportation issues and the solutions we've come up with. Mr. Kruger already took the highlights of all this, so I'm going to kind of zoom in on the map you looked at. I just want to give you a quick overview. This project is a uniquely constrained site, a lot of challenges, and we did have a very cooperative effort working with the agencies, PBOT, ODOT, and TriMet, as well as the neighborhood, where a lot of iterations back and forth, and I think at the end of the day have come to a really good solution. Kind of highlight some of the constraints we're working with today and some of the challenges. We have four existing driveways on Capitol Hill Road, the two on Barber Boulevard that Mr. Kruger mentioned that we're closing, which trying to convince your commercial retail client to close their driveways on this highest volume road is not an easy thing, but we did work through that, and I think it's going to be a good move forward with for everyone. Got a Multnomah Boulevard ramp driveway that we're closing, as well as a really long truck loading driveway. In addition to those challenges, we do have the TriMet mid-block bus stop today. That vehicle ends up stopping in what amounts to kind of a half-shared right-turn lane. Really no dedicated place for it to go, but once it pulls out, it has to merge back into the through traffic on Barber, which can be difficult to do when the road's busy. We have right turns trying to get around the bus to the ramp, and then, as Mr. Kruger mentioned, the poor bicyclist trying to get up the middle between the buses and the right turns. There's several places where we have sidewalk facilities that are missing today, and a challenge just trying to get people across that Multnomah ramp connection. In addition, the traffic signal, as you can see in this drawing, and if you've been out there, the turn lanes on Barber Boulevard are pretty short, and there's really no place to extend them because of a bridge to the south and topographic challenges to the north. So with all those things in mind, we have worked together on this package, and what I'm going to do is zoom in on the map that you were all trying to look at before and just highlight. Looking specifically at the ramp area where we go down to Barber Boulevard, we're now providing a bicycle lane all the way up to Barber, to the ramp. We are reconstructing the ramp area, putting in a curb extension, which will shorten that pedestrian crossing distance and reduce speeds down the ramp, which is a goal the neighborhood was looking for. The new 11-foot sidewalks will be providing, ultimately giving us a more pedestrian-friendly, bicycle-friendly facility that should reduce speeds along that segment of the frontage as well. On Barber Boulevard, as Mr. Kruger mentioned, we are reconstructing the corner, which is allowing us to straighten out the crosswalk and get that pedestrian crossing time down. We're moving the TriMet bus stop to its own designated area and getting it closer to the signal, which from a TriMet perspective helps us in that they've been experiencing mid-block crossings where people don't wait for the signal, they run for the bus and try to cross Barber at its widest point. So this gets the pedestrians back to the signal. Again, the new wider sidewalks, that place for the bicycles to actually have a designated place to go down the road. And then we're making some traffic signal upgrades that will allow those left turns to turn more frequently so that we don't have them backing up out on Barber itself. By closing the driveways, getting the truck loading moved around, adding signal capacity, we're really cleaning this area up, reducing a lot of the weaving and friction that happens there. The frontage improvements themselves exceed what was called for in the previously identified Barber Street plan, and again, really serve all modes of transportation. Kind of close out on Capitol Hill Road, we are completing frontage improvements along Capitol Hill Road, which will allow us to stripe in a center left turn lane. You can see there the main driveway into the facility that was asked about earlier. This gives you a refuge to get in and out of there. Wider sidewalks along the frontage, relocate the speed bump hump that's out there, and provide shared lane markings so that we can get those bicycles through there, setting things up for future widening to the north and potential, if the city so chooses, to provide bicycle lanes. We think this, in the end of the day, really provides a much more friendly environment all around and enhances the system, setting up for future improvements as the city and state continue on their way. With that, I will conclude my testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Hovey. I'm an economic and development consultant and was asked by the applicant to address the consistency of Safeway's proposal for a comprehensive plan and zoning amendment with the housing policy objectives of the city's adopted comprehensive plan and also the Southwest Community Plan. Our letter of September 7, 2011, which is included as an exhibit and referenced by the report and recommendation of the hearings examiner, provides four primary observations as to the housing benefits that are associated with this proposal, and I'll just briefly summarize them. First, our analysis indicates that Portland's Southwest community is currently underserved with grocery store services. That is a need that can be better addressed by an expanded contemporary Safeway store with improved specialty grocery departments such as expanded produce, deli meat, bakery, floral, card shop, wine, coffee and pharmacy, as well as basic grocery goods. Second, this proposal fits with the market observation and the public policy's objectives that include Portland plan objectives for 20-minute neighborhoods that recognize grocery services as a vital enhancement to residential property value together with neighborhood stabilization and opportunity to develop diverse new housing. There's been considerable work done on this subject both by the city and by Metro and by others, including some of my compatriot economic consultants. Third, while direct mitigation of housing, the 20 units that have been described, will be provided elsewhere off-site, an inventory that we have conducted indicates that there is also a clear opportunity within the one-quarter mile or the immediate vicinity of the site for added housing development consistent with the comprehensive plan as well as policies and objectives of the Southwest Community Plan. And fourth and finally, the applicant's proposal is important to maintain and enhance the critical day-to-day urban amenity that grocery can offer to meet the city's policy objectives of balanced communities, housing diversity, and neighborhood stability. I note that BDS staff has similarly concluded that modernizing the Safeway store, despite the loss of two residentially zoned lots, will encourage upgrading of existing housing and development of new housing within walking distance of the store. I think I've concluded a bit ahead of time. I appreciate the opportunity to offer these summary comments and pass the mic back to Mr. Whitlow.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my only other remarks would be that, of course, we have the favorable recommendation from the hearings officer with proposed findings and conditions. We find those acceptable. We've worked through the language, including the ones that planning staff mentioned that had been omitted. that are now added back on, and so we've gone over all of that language, and we're comfortable with it, and we would accept those recommended conditions. We have passed out to you 8.5 by 11 copies of the storyboards, the renderings, just so you can look at those, but they are in the record. And that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
How many parking spaces are there now, and how many will there be in the new store?
At the new store, we'll have, I believe it's 131. And the current store, I'm not sure, but I think it's probably about 140.
So it's going to be a bigger store, but there's, I'm wondering if that's going to be enough parking.
We're concerned about that also. And we felt that due to the closeness to downtown, it's not real urban, but it's more urban than other places. And was one of the concerns we had with why we were asking for the adjustment on the landscaping, because we really felt we were at the minimum number of parking stalls that we felt we could use. Just as an aside, I think the Fred Meyer has more parking, but it may not be as convenient as our parking will be. So we're kind of hoping that even though we have fewer numbers, they'll be more convenient, therefore easier for customers to use.
Oh, I think it'll be well used, and thank you for that explanation. Mr. Jackson, you do these developments in other places. Is a year and a half a long time to be negotiating on getting from the beginning to now?
This particular project on this particular site has been a very difficult project to come with solutions to all of the challenges that it's presented. It's a triangular piece of property. It's small in size. It required acquiring two pieces of property without the assurance we would get them rezoned. The plan is something that Safeway's come up with just recently, which is the Podium store. Before that, we really didn't have that option, so we struggled with underground parking. We struggled with rooftop parking. But when the site's so small, and we have certain limitations on the grade that a person's willing to drive up on the steepness of the access points, we felt that we just could not figure out how to get people onto the roof or under the store safely. When the Podium project came along, everybody kind of just said, well, that looks like it could work. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, you know, it fit. Then all the rest of it needed to be done, PBOT, ODOT, which is complicated in itself, the landscaping and meeting all of the codes, which was a goal we had, was to try to have a project that met all codes to try to minimize the amount of time and the number of hearings that we would need to go through. So we worked very hard to meet all codes, and I think we were very successful in bringing forth a project for a presentation to the city that met our needs, and I hope would be perceived as meeting the city's also.
Thank you, that is impressive that you've managed to fit everything in with just a very small adjustment.
Yes.
And you noted that the staff has been helpful in puzzling all this through.
Extremely helpful, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now hear from supporters of the appeal. Applicant. Sorry. Supporters of the applicant, does anyone sign up?
Sorry, no one else signed up.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify in support of the applicant? All right, if not, opponents of the application? Same amount of time.
I have these as public testifiers, two people. There's no principal opponent. For
as it said. Bring them on up.
Okay, it's Don Bach and Keith Leiden.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor.
So how much time do I give him? It's like 40 minutes or something. He'll fill it up. He'll fill it up if I let him.
If these are the only two opponents you have testifying, perhaps you could grant them together 15 minutes to testify.
15 minutes together.
That's fine. Great. Well,
Mayor Adams, commissioners, it's a pleasure being here. On behalf of Hillsdale Neighborhood, I signed up because it was a shorter list on this side, so I'm not really opposed to the project. I am opposed to some of the details of the transportation. I'm sure I speak for the residents of Hillsdale, which is the neighborhood across the street from this application, that we are very supportive of having a new Safeway store. The Safeway people have been really excellent to work with, and I really commend them. And they're putting in a drinking fountain, which has been one of my things to do in Hillsdale, and this will be the sixth one I think we put in. So this is fantastic. So we strongly support this application in its merits, but the transportation side on Capitol Hill Road is of concern. And I understand fully the legal complications of this, so I want to suggest a non-standard thing, and I'm pretty well known for that anyway, so you won't be surprised. If we took 8 inches out of the three travel lanes, we get 2 feet. We take 2 feet and add it to the sidewalk, we end up with a much wider sidewalk. And then we put in a European-style cycle track so the bikes can go down the sidewalk and have a place to be rather than having to stack up in traffic. Now, I anticipate the traffic coming out of this store will line up to the exit to the store. I mean, it lines up now a long distance, so I think it'll be a lot worse, particularly during rush hour. So to expect bikes to dilly-dally behind cars and the stopping and going you get with that kind of thing, I think would be very dangerous. And so lacking the ability to put in a bicycle lane, I think the city taking 2 feet of their property and narrowing up the travel lanes would be a reasonable way of doing this. And then we'd end up with, you know, some way we can have the bikes on the sidewalk. Now, at the intersection, I propose a bike box, a green, you know, bike box we've got all over the city, where the bikes then, if they're going to make a left turn, they've got a free way to get to that at the signal because the bike box will give them access to that. Coming off the sidewalk then, going to the bike box, and then making a left turn. Now, there are three schools immediately adjacent to this store. On the south, we have Capitol Hill School, and we have St. Clair's, both, you know, major elementary schools. And then we have an elementary school immediately to the north and west of this, on Capitol Hill Road. And so that is really important that we encourage more bike and ped connections to these schools, which we really have very little of right now. Southwest 19th is on one of the sidewalk improvement projects that it's going forward at this point in time. So Southwest 19th is going to be improved, and we will be much easier to get bikes and peds on that. So, and I'm told by the owner of the property across Kitty Corner across the street that they're looking at improving their property within 4 years, which would make this a very attractive place. Furthermore, if we do have any kind of rapid transportation, this is a very logical place since the bridge across the freeway is a key access to the south for a major facility for rapid transit. So, in summary, this is really important, and that is, this is not the first place we're going to have this immediately same problem. We've got the same thing coming up at Walgreens, which will be the new Walgreens at Capitol Highway and Barber, the south connection of Capitol Highway, in where it is now the sex paraphernalia stores, which is going out of business. And when that's done, we have the immediate problem, the same problem we've got there, where we've got narrow lanes and we're going to expect people to cross. So let's set the precedent. Let's do some things immediately. And in the future, we get the ability to change some things, getting more dedications, we can modify them. But let's do it now. And I don't see that as a very expensive thing for the city to build 2 feet of extra sidewalk. Or maybe we could even get Safeway to help out with that. I'm not making that part of the request. That's to be negotiated. And finally, on one other point that I'd like to make, and that is on the bicycle connection going down Barber, since we've got this major slip lane of cars coming, I would recommend that we request of that you recommend that you ask ODOT to green stripe that, put green, not green stripe it, but paint it green. They have told us that they are going to do that at Capitol Highway on the north, where we've got connecting to Capitol Highway going to Hillsdale, and to ask them to do it in this location I think would be equally important. It's the same general kind of situation. And then that would make the pedestrian crossing also much more visible to people. So those are the two major things that I recommend you do. Thank you. Any other questions?
What are you asking to be painted green?
On Barber Boulevard, where the two places, Dan, on Barber Boulevard, where Multnomah Boulevard peels off to the right, paint that bicycle connection that goes south, continues on Barber, green. So it's very clear, you know, and fluorescent green really shows up well if we keep it painted.
He doesn't mean literally paint. He means the bike box green.
Okay. The bike box green, too, but the crossing, the other one would be the bike box, but the one that I want to see painted green is the bicycle connection that goes across basically Multnomah Boulevard as it exits from Barber.
What color green?
No.
Bike box green.
I'll take any color I can get. Thank you.
But just to make sure I understand, you're concerned about cyclists going that are starting on Capitol Hill Road and wanting to make a left onto Barber.
Actually, I think they'll be going south. You know, the ones going left on Barber will probably take off. Well, that may be. Yes, they'll be going left on Barber to go to town. I was wrong. I was thinking going right. They'll be going left on Barber, and so if you give them the chance to get on the sidewalk, then we've got to get them off the sidewalk. If we have a bike box, then they can get in front of the traffic and then turn left. And there's a left turn signal there.
Right. Because the ones turning to go west on Barber presumably could cut through the upper parking lot.
They
probably would.
Well, they end up on Multnomah Boulevard if they cut through the parking lot. They don't.
The top one. This one.
I don't think they can cut through that. Maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know enough about the details of their plan. That's a possibility.
Thank you for your suggestion.
But the other thought that I want to make is that having the people be able to make a right turn, then a bike box there keeps people from making the right turn. And we have a lot of pedestrian conflicts crossing Barber and pipe people trying to make a right turn. It's a very dangerous intersection now. It'll be worse with more traffic.
Thank you.
Sir.
Okay, my name is Keith Leiden. I live at 4021 Southwest 36th Place in Portland. You folks should have a little two-page thing. Some of the questions and issues I raised here have been answered by the staff in its report. I remain concerned, though, that we have what I'm calling a plan policy and implementation disconnect. I still don't feel that some of our plans that are in place, the TSP, the Portland Bicycle Master Plan, were not followed completely in the review and analysis of this. I don't have any objections to the Safeway proposal, and after writing two letters and participating in the hearings officer decision, I don't think I'm going to be changing the trajectory of this land use decision. But I am still curious about what we're going to have for bikes on Capitol Hill Road, and the reason that we in Southwest are hammering on Capitol Hill Road and its importance is it's one of the few crossing opportunities you have in Southwest to go across Barber Boulevard and I-5. So even though this intersection now represents a big pedestrian and bicycle gap because facilities come and go as you're approaching this intersection from all directions, it still, in the long term, is a very valuable asset for getting around in Southwest. And what's still not clear to me is why a compromise, maybe it's what Don's suggesting or something else, was not really considered, because we raised compromise designs here for a number of months. One possibly being an alternative to Don's would be to have a 7 or an 8 foot sidewalk and a 4 or 5 foot bike lane. Why won't that work? And from what I understand, there's something about the way the stormwater rules work that adding a bike lane is expanding the street, and that kicks in stormwater requirements. But if you add a sidewalk, it doesn't. That doesn't make sense to me because, I mean, impervious surface is impervious surface. But I still have some questions there, but I think the importance is Capitol Hill Road and 19th and crossing. And I don't, with all due respect, I don't agree with the city engineer thinking that everybody's going to want to be on their bike and they're going to want to be taking a left on a Barber. That's just one thing. I think, as Don's pointed out, we also have schools and other reasons that you just want to cross Barber, and a bike lane would be really a good addition. I think also just saying that bikes will be fine in this section with probably a doubling of traffic without a bike lane is that might be fine for the experienced bicyclists, but it's not going to be very attractive to the interested but concerned people that were also trying to attract a bicycle lane. I understand that in response to some of my comments that the PBOT staff has been talking about their development review process after this and looking at ways to possibly improve how they review development applications. I welcome this evaluation, and I hope that you will encourage PBOT to go forward with really taking a look at how they do business in the future. And there are a couple things that I listed here, and I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. One is there was called a transportation impact analysis that was submitted as part of this report. It's a 280-page report with the charts and tables and so forth. Barely mentions bicycling in the entire report. It's all about automobile moves, VOC ratios, queue lengths, et cetera, and really no analysis about what are pedestrians and cyclists facing when they try to use these facilities in this area and what needs to be done. So my question here is, how will we ever create a multimodal transportation system that we aspire to if we remain fixated only on motorist needs when we're faced with a development application? Another one is that I think that the TSP analysis needs to be comprehensive. If you look at the staff report, in my opinion, I think the staff just essentially cherry-picked pieces of the TSP to support their particular conclusions and didn't really look at the entire document to come up with a more well-rounded analysis. I do not agree that we have a problem because of designations and so forth. There still may be some on proportionality, but not that. And then I think probably the one important thing that I don't completely understand, I'll admit, but seems to be rearing its head all the time when we talk about providing bike lanes and sidewalks in Southwest is the stormwater requirements. And I think they should be evaluated for how they are inhibiting our ability to make much-needed transportation safety improvements for cyclists, pedestrians, and transit users in Southwest Portland. Southwest Portland may be different from a lot of the city in that we don't have enough pavement in a lot of cases. We have pavement for cars, but nobody else. And so we do need to add some in some instances, and it seems like the stormwater rules are making it very difficult to do that. This is evident in the Safeway case, where apparently part of the aversion to requiring a bike lane or having a compromised solution is driven by the stormwater requirements, not by anything else. It's also apparent in large projects. The Capitol Highway project right now was running expensive to begin with, and now with the stormwater requirements, really has everybody scratching their heads how we're going to afford that thing. And then finally, I just think that green streets should be as much about pedestrian cyclist safety, air quality, reducing the city's carbon footprint, et cetera, as much as it is about water quality, and that under the current rules, streets appear that they'll remain car-friendly as they are, they'll become fish-friendly, but pedestrians and especially cyclists will remain on the Southwest Portland Endangered Species List. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. All right. Unless there's council questions, we'll now hear from any rebuttal by the applicant.
Mayor, Mark Whitlow again for the applicant. It could be best for us to hear from Mr. Kruger on some of the details from the staff perspective that could truncate our
That's
rebuttal.
The next item on the agenda, which is council discussion.
I see.
Anything from your perspective?
Trying to get it on the record. Of course, and I had some legal points I would go over, and I would ask Mr. Bremer to join in. On the takings issue, we have raised it. It's in the record. We don't like to talk about this that much, but we think it would be an unconstitutional exaction to impose that condition. Under the case law, there are a couple of things. You have the nexus, which I think staff has gone over. They feel no nexus is present because there isn't the bike lane in the existing TSP. The 2030 bike plan has not been incorporated by reference into the TSP, and so for legal reasons, you can't rely on that, could not impose it against this application. And then on the proportionality issue, staff has done a good job of showing that they do not believe that that exaction would be proportionate to the impacts of this proposed development. So under the cases, the Dolan case, it is the city's burden to establish the proportionality. So in this case, your staff has said that you don't have it. So really, I don't think there's a legal basis to go forward with a condition. If you would do that, we would object, and that's the record that we've already made. And so Mr. Bremer then would provide some rebuttal on an engineering analysis.
with respect to the transportation issue.
There's a graphic that's being passed out to you that is part of the hearings examiner's record, and I think it helps kind of inform the process of what we're trying to accomplish with the respect to